showed how angry I really am. But I'm not gonna hide it. So I keep my chains on the wall in the living room. I want my guests to know, while I am unquestionably their friend, I am also absolutely filled with rage.
Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lucien Lebanor. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this date, May 7th, 2025. Today's episode is also rated R and F. F for, hold on a second.
I'm giving y'all a fair warning right now. If you are sensitive, you ain't gonna like this.
Rocker.
Because I'm sick of holding back. A lot of people are not gonna like this, but I'm sick of holding back. I'm sick of not saying what I really wanna say. I'm sick and tired of keeping it clean. I can no longer keep it clean on here at all. I can no longer hold back the things that I really wanna say. I can no longer say these things behind closed doors. I'm no longer keeping it clean. So, excuse my language, okay?
F is for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast, let alone this episode, it's not for you. Not for you. Not going to be for you. Y'all been warned. I'm not holding back. Bam, bam. Get down. Right, okay. All right, now before I continue, I'm going to ask, I want to send a special shout out to your listeners, and let's applaud each other, all right? Let's just start out with an applauding each other. Let's do this. Except for Whitey, man. If you're Whitey, don't be fucking applauding yourself. Sorry, focus, B, focus. All right. And if you're a new, first-time listener, welcome. Yay! Whitey ain't a first-time listener. Whitey is always on my... Okay, sorry. Focus, B. Jesus. Oh, my God. You need to work on your rage. All right, okay. No, seriously. Like I traditionally say to all you first-time listeners, my hope that at some point that I say something on this podcast that resonates and allows us to make history. All right. Okay. Maybe I should add no hard feelings if you don't stick around, but, you know, that's how it starts. You took a chance. All right, okay. Today's episode. I make myself laugh. I make myself giggle. All right. So, today's episode is titled 263, and I'm debating between the angry black guy or pretending to be angry, pretending not to be angry. And in this episode, I go off on a rant on, okay, this is what I put in my notes. I go off on a rant about Whitey, but it's more specific than that, but you know what? I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out when we get to featured thought, but I know it's in that category. I need to go around. I need to let off some steam. And I got a podcast. What best place to do it? Better place to do it. All right, okay. So before we do that, I'm going to make a note that I just said, let me write that down. And I'm going to stop that. Next part is we're jumping to news and random. Quotes and randomness. Quotes and randomness. And for some of you, that's not entertaining. For me, I make myself giggle at how I fuck up the title of my segments. Okay, one more time. Quotes and randomness. Yeah. All right, okay. First quote from James Baldwin. Yes, I've said it before, and I'm saying it again because it's my goddamn podcast. To be a Negro in this country and to be relatively conscious is to be in a rage almost all the time. James Baldwin. Next quote. Every brother and sister has to be a soldier in the war against the black man. They want to keep your mind in a constant state of aggravation. Sister soldier.
We are at war.
That's what's up. All right. Yeah. Yeah. It's another. You know what? Now that I think about it, this concludes quote. Now we're jumping into randomness. And what I was about to say is I'm realizing that all these, except for the first one, but all this randomness I'm about to bring up is related to the overall theme of fuck Whitey. But you know what? Nah, I'm blaming Whitey for his sexism while we're at it. Right? Yeah, fuck it. Okay, so this first bit of randomness, it was when I was scrolling, again, TikTok. Most of my shit comes from TikTok. And this particular, so this TikTok clip is a what do you call that? An excerpt from another podcast in French. And the dude is speaking out against, what's the word he used? Le mouvement masculinisme. And that's masculine movement or men's movement, whatever. And the way he articulated his point, I connected with it. And I'm that same the same energy he communicates this point in French is how I'm writing it, it's the same energy that I'm using for this podcast. But so yeah, so before I get to Whitey, I'm gonna say fuck the men's rights movement, the bullshit mouvement masculinist, and I will let him break it down, well, express himself, and I will add to it after.
L'hostie de mouvement masculinisme, machin, chose bin, de gars avec des barbes là, qui se disent qu'ils sont hot parce qu'ils ont des business puis leurs femmes sont à la maison. Moi, je pense que c'est leur vision d'un vrai homme masculin qui est pas la bonne. Je sais pas comment où est-ce que vous rangez là-dessus.
On se range à la même place que toi.
C'est pas pour bien paraître là, auprès de la gente féminine. Là, je capote. Puis je capote au niveau... C'est les gars, en fait, qui me fait capoter. C'est le fait que quand ce sujet-là arrive sur la table, les premières à monter aux barricades, c'est constamment les femmes. Puis je suis comme, c'est correct parce que c'est elles, au final, qui sont les victimes de ça, mais ça changera pas sans les gars.
T'sais. Ça devrait pas être nous.
Ça devrait pas être vous autres. Quand je vois des gars avoir des plateformes puis dire relayer des messages misogynes, des messages qui ont aucun bon sens, je comprends pas comment ça que les gars comme toi, moi, surtout ceux qui ont des plateformes, sont pas les premiers à dire écoutez, non seulement on veut pas l'entendre, c'est absolument inacceptable, ça a pas sa place.
Alright, I'll tell you why I'm sharing it and why I'm clapping. Well, first, let me start with, besides the fact that I was feeling the passion and the words and every word that he said, I agreed with it. I just realized some of you folks don't speak French. Okay, let me do a bit of translation. And long story short, homie just breaks down. I'm not going to translate the whole thing. Yo, c'est Chris de podcast bilingue. Yo, débrouillez-vous, Chris. I just delineated a portion of my podcast. The gist of what he said is fuck the he used the word mouvement masculinisme. I think it's equivalent to the manosphere, men's rights movement, the any quote unquote men quote unquote empowerment movement that's based on controlling women. Basically, it's we controlling the opposite sex. Anything that's based on the reason you ain't shit is because these chicks ain't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Sure. You know, they'll probably tell you, like, you know, you need to work out, get some exercise, get some money, and get these bitches. And if you can't get these bitches, it's their fault. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, so fuck, it's the bullshit men's rights movement. One. Two, and I think this is the part where it really got my attention, is what he said. Okay, there's two ones. One is, whenever these folks do their bullshit, it's usually women responding when it should be men who should be confronting these motherfuckers. We should be the ones saying, nah, man, you don't get to sit at the adult tables. That's not how grown men behave. I guess we need to come together and define what a grown man is. Like, take care of your, you know, be independent. Take care of your things. Like, I'm not speaking against working out, financial gains, and all that shit, all your ambitious career. I'm not speaking against that. But when you start saying shit like, oh, women ain't women what they used to be. When it's not, when what you're doing requires the rest of the world to conform, it's bullshit. It's about control. It's, look, my journey, I guess I'm going to have to speak for myself on this one. My journey in this, if I'm speaking the way I am right now, my journey began when I realized that I was fed up with this definition of masculinity. It's like, I remember saying, yeah, I'm not playing this game anymore. I'm done being a man. And I'm done being whatever somebody else's definition of masculinity. Only to realize what I was really saying, or I had to grow into it, was, nah, I'm going to live out my own definition of masculinity. And as long as I'm not hurting anyone, then engage. Full force. Go with it. You know what I mean? You want to listen to soft music? You want to listen to slow R&B music and enjoy it? Go ahead. You want to cry? You want to watch chick flicks? Okay. Should be a bit more mature to use the word than chick flicks. But you know what I mean? You want to do shit that other men will cringe? Let them go fuck themselves. Do what you got to do. Embrace your humanity. I think it's the big message in this is, men, embrace your humanity and respect others. Women aren't the reason why you're broke. Trans, members of the LGBTQ community, LGBTQ plus community, aren't the reason why you can't get laid or why you're not happy. There's a second thing that he said at the beginning. He said, look, I want to be clear. I'm not saying, this is what's interesting, actually. It caught my attention. He said, I'm not saying this to make myself look favorable to other women. This is how toxic masculinity is. Because all of us are like, yeah, sure, you're not. Meaning, if you find a man speaking, saying all the right things, it's like, yes, I believe in feminism and all that shit. It's like, I don't blame you if you feel skeptic. I don't blame you if you feel skeptic, if you don't trust. I don't even trust those dudes. Like, I have to meet, right now, I'm judging this man by his words. I don't know him from Adam. But all I know is I love what he just said, and I could get back on that message. But I am not mad at anyone who's like, let me do a background check. But that's how toxic masculinity is. That's what I want to fix. And where he got me thinking, well, first I went from thinking about how, can I trust this dude? But that's irrelevant. The fact that this whole dog-eat-dog world that we created, that we accepted and normalized, I'm saying, let's move masculinity. Let's shift the definition of masculinity that doesn't make us toxic to the opposite sex. And this is where it comes down to it. Like, 'cause I've been thinking about this. If I had to preach this shit, or like speaking to an audience full of men about it, because that's the thing. At some point, you gotta tap into what's in it for me. You gotta be able to answer, because every human being is selfish. What's in it for me? And the reason for shifting it is like, yo, humanity won't last if one group is attacking the other one. If we don't evolve from the mindset of me versus them. You know who me versus them serves? The exploiters, the people on top. Oh my God, I'm starting to preach. I didn't mean to preach. Okay, all right. I'm just really passionate about it. But the last point where I'm gonna get with this is, if I'm really passionate about this shit, or where a lot of where this comes from, is because the same system of oppression that's been used on humanity is all based on getting each other to go after the other. I'm sorry, I had an image of two people in the strip club, the stripper and the patron, right? The stripper giving the lap dance, and she's telling this guy, and she's thinking, yo, this guy's a sucker, what a loser. And the dude, he's looking at her thinking, fly, you slut whore, you dance for money. Both like look at each other with no respect, but both looking at each other with disgust. And meanwhile, the owner of the strip club is making shitload of money. That's what I was thinking about. All right, the reason I was passionate about this shit is because the same way, the only way patriarchy and all that shit is going down is if men take it down. The same way, that reality is the same way, the only way racism, white supremacy is going down is if white people take it down. Because these systems are, that's what makes these systems so genius. Because it taps into the selfishness of one group. And it puts them in a situation where, wait, you want me to dismantle a system that's benefiting me? Fuck, sit down, bitch. I'll be honest with you, man. If I feel hopeless about humanity, because I'm looking at like, wow, in order for us to get to the next level, wow, we're going to have to swallow our pride. We're going to have to like revert. We're going to have to do a lot of unlearning. How do you convince the security guard, the dude guarding the bodyguard of the soldier? I was thinking of a story of during the Russian Revolution. I thought it was amazing. I'm not a big historian, but I remember hearing this story about this Russian Revolution where the people like uprised and they were, I'm not sure if they were like going to like take down the monarchy or whatever, right? And the soldiers blocking the entrance took their side. I was like, wow, that's fun. They actually said, fuck this paycheck. It's bigger than that. Fuck us, you know, fuck my oath. I'm getting fucked just like the same way these same soldiers with gun saw the people and they found they connected to their struggle. That shit's powerful. But I think that's like very unique. That's like a rare occurrence in humanity. That's like Halley's Comet type shit. But that's what's gonna happen, man. Not this whole, oh, man, whatever, man. It's right. We're supposed to be talking about rage, not hopelessness. All right, okay. So I'm just glad that I covered that topic, and I really love the title, Let's See the Mouvement Masculinist. Let's see in French, Canadian. Well, do not use that word in Quebec. I mean, in France. Oh, you must be from Canada. Anyway, Usti just means like the equivalent of fuck. The fucking movement of masculinity. Yeah, man. Anyway, yeah, man. Fuck them niggas. All right, next quote. All right, okay. You know, I said the title today's episode is I'm still debating between pretending not to be angry versus angry black guy. We'll see where the spirit takes me. But a third one or a recurring theme is tell them why you're mad, B Black. Tell them why you're mad. And I was I'm going to get to it in future thought, but this thought here just nailed it for me. And I posted it. If you follow me on Instagram, you've likely seen it. And I posted, the message goes, you call black people criminals, but elect a 34-time felon. You call them low IQ, but you don't know a tariff is a tax on consumers. You call black people dirty, but claim people don't need to bathe daily. You call black people violent, but support police brutality and lynching. I remember X-Clan has a line that goes, I remember all those times that you called me an animal. But in But in Milwaukee, there's a cannibal. Wait, hold on. Make sure I get that line right. Right. Oh, shit, I had it. O'Shea goes, I remember all those times that you called me a cannibal, but in Milwaukee, there's a cannibal. And the cannibal they were referring to in Milwaukee is Jeffrey Dahmer. I'm saying, I remember growing up, I remember with so many contradictions. I should point out that I grew up with white people, so if all this shit comes. But I think my biggest one is my parents immigrated to this country from Haiti. And the whole time in school, the teachers had us feeling or had me feeling like they came to this country like deadbeats and with nothing to offer, and Canada like saved us, like through their grace, through their kindness, they saved us from you know, they pull us out from this shithole country and let us be in the presence of their white kids. It's like, you should be grateful. And don't get me wrong. And then I grow up and realize that, oh, fuck. Your economy depends on people like us coming in to work shit jobs so your kids can work better. So, you know what I mean? It's like, it's the system, but I guess it's more how I had to unlearn the idea that you're a guest in this country. You're a guest living on the couch, and some of your people are ungrateful or like, you know, burning down their own neighborhoods. You know, all I'm saying is the image that was planted in my head about who I was, and then later you grow up and being like, oh, wait, no, you're the savage. And look, all I know is that post that I just read just narrow shit down. The contradiction. I think in the other notes, other links, excuse me, section, there's a clip about Baltimore crime rates, about Mayor Scott, the mayor of Baltimore. And it's just a quick clip about, forget the content creator's name. It's, oh my God. Should be ashamed of myself. But it's a quick clip explaining how, talking about an article praising the mayor of Baltimore for bringing down crime rates. And the big thing is how, what kills me is this dude is doing an amazing job. And he's getting called DEI. He's called the DEI hire. Meanwhile, Trump's administration is like straight fucking up. And they're like, it kills me that Trump is up there, has the gall. Gall is one thing, but the fact that he's got a listening audience of people going, yeah, well, you know, listening to this 34-time felon talk about like, yeah, we need to do something about illegal immigrants. We need to bring law and order. You know, it's like we're being judged by the lowest of whites. And they got the audacity. Like, this system allows them to look down on us like we're the ones who are. Tell them why you're mad, B-Black. Tell them why you're mad. All right, okay. Next clip. I seriously got to rush my blood pressure. You know what's funny is my last therapy session, this is part of a feature thought, but I'm just blanking in. Yesterday or whatever, Monday, my therapist sent me a message, and it's called a check-in. I guess it's based on the session, and it was just like, yo, take a pulse. Where are you at? What do you feel? It's meant to be like, in case, it's to make myself mindful of how I'm feeling, you know, mindful of my blood pressure and things like that. But yeah, I'm mad. All right, okay. What else? Next clip goes. This one is, if the roles were reversed.
White people love to do this nonsensical thing where they're like, if the roles were reversed, black people would enslave us too. Which I think is hilarious, because what on earth would we use you for? Cleaning?
She said what she said. She said what she said. She said what she said. I said she said what she said. All right, okay. I realize I didn't introduce the clip, but the content creator's name is Charlotte Rich. Yeah, Charlotte Rich. Young Charlotte. And she's replying to original video was much longer. Oh, this video was longer. Oh, wow. Okay. So this video was initially introduced to me with that. Like, I found it on, was it Blue Skies or Reddit? I can't remember. And it was just, it started with this 13-second clip of what would we use you for? Cleaning. And there's something, I can't explain it, but there's a beauty. The way, the look on her face, it's, wow. It's very, whatever, I can't, it's pretty. It's, she's, the look on her face is cleaning, and she, you could tell it's, like, this is a punchline. But I'm more like, there's something beautiful about the way she said it. That's what I'm trying to get at. That's number one. Two, 13-second clip, the actual clip is, well, the one that I have in the show notes is 6 minutes 42 seconds long. Apparently it's longer. But what I'm going to do is, I'm not going to play the clip because you listen to it yourself, but I'm going to, the notes that I wrote down about this clip, talk about that. Overall, my biggest takeaway from what she said is, while I was preparing for today's episode, I knew I wanted to talk about rage. It's something she said, it reminded, look, initially, I was actually considering calling this episode "I Hate White People." I'm so along that line. But I wanted to make it focus, because I'm not ignorant. I wanted to be specific about what I was talking about. And there's something she said that made me realize the whole having to pretend I'm not angry. Being around them and having to pretend I'm not angry. Like, that's part of the resentment that I have against white people. I should mention, this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. Remember, you chose to listen. You chose to hit the play button. All right, okay. So I, yeah. Second, now this is where I'm going to go through the points that I, because there's a lot of points that she made, but I'm going with the one that stuck the most. And the first one goes, I love this one. White people have no imagination when it comes to freedom. This fear that they have that if black people are free, we're in trouble. This constant fear or this belief that at some deep down inside, black people just want revenge. We just want freedom. We just want to be, you know, I would like to no longer feel like no longer feel or treated like I'm the other. I would like to judge by the same standards a white person with my profile is judged by. I'm saying this. Either treat white criminals the same way you treat black criminals, or you treat black criminals the same way you treat white criminals. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is, yo, let's not have this unequated. A perfect example. Okay, one example is what's your name? I was gonna call it Ashley Babbitt. Is it Ashley? The chick who took a bullet. Let me get her name. Is Ashley? She's in the news right now. It's not gonna be in the show notes, but you can look at it yourself. Is it Babbitt? Yeah, it is Babbitt. Oh, fuck. Sometimes I don't trust my memory, right? So Ashley Babbitt. Someone made that comparison. Apparently, or it's been decided that the lady. Okay, so during January 6th, the white chick who like tried to get into the, like tried to break in the Capitol, the window, and got shot. Right? Because she was warned. A dude with a gun has a gun pointing in her face in her direction. don't do it, don't do it, and she does it. You know what I mean? It's, you know, if I reach for a cop's gun, I'm not expecting poor B, man. I mean, it would have been cool if the cop would have been like some judo shit on me and whatever. It's like, ha-ha, like in the movies. But, you know, but if it's understood, it's like justifiable homicide. It's an easy write-off for the cop that nigga reached for my gun. Ashley Babbitt put herself in danger. And they decided to settle with the family that, you know, they reached a settlement. I guess they were sued and they reached a settlement, and her family is going to get some compensation for what happened to this chick. The point I'm making is the double standards that we live in. You know, we're not free. We ain't got it like these white folks. Look, I'm saying is, look, they should treat Ashley Babbitt the same way they would treat a black person, an indigenous person, or any non-white person who did the same shit that she did. We know she's a criminal. Oh, someone compared it to, okay, so you got her, and then you got Breonna Taylor. Killed in her bed, whatever. They came to her, and she died. There was no restitution for her. Or, you know, I'm just, look, okay. White people have no imagination when it comes to freedom. I love what she said that. She said how when white people think of black people being free, they think of, oh, shit, they're coming to get us. Another part, this is not something she said, but something she said that triggered this thought is how when I talk about white people, I'm not thinking of the individual, the French, English, the Germans, Irish. I'm talking about the collective whiteness that was created, right? Europe. How white people took the same bullshit they had in Europe, their same system of oppression they had in Europe, and brought it to the rest of the world. They took their social path. Every country has their own social path. Their social path created the world that we live in. Normalize the stuff that we look at. I look at the United States. I'm realizing a lot of this is focused on the United States, but don't get me started on residential schools. It's just an easier example to point at, I guess, right? But I think about how the relationship, all the above, the relationship between the Trump administration and the people. It's like an abusive relationship. It's a dysfunctional relationship. And you know, it's like the abuser, and instead of the abuse saying enough is enough, they're like pacifying. They're like, well, Trump is a fucking idiot. He's dumb, he's stupid, it's just words. It's just there's like a they're tolerating his behavior. Like, he's bullshitting. He's like the dude who's caught with the other wife, with the other girlfriend, and comes back and say, nah, well, you know, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Like, that's the relationship that we're in with Trump. I say us, but I mean, it's really the American people. But it's really the American people. It's beyond being a name. It's with the American people, but this is the same asshole who was like, yeah, Canada, you guys don't contribute shit. We don't need anything from you. Oh, man, shout out to, I don't believe this, I'm going to say this, man. Shout out to the white boy, Mark Carney, who showed up there and says, wait, but with all due respect, well, he did it way better than I could have done it. But with all due respect, we're your biggest client, motherfucker. So he didn't use those words, but I was thinking that. We're your biggest client. The reason we're up north, the reason this relationship has been working between us is because we've been buying most of your shit. But whatever the fuck, man. You know, there's a border, but whatever, man. It's like we've been, I know it bothered me. You can't tell it bothered me. Anyways, this is going to, I just realized that I'm already in my feature thought, but yeah, but this, let's just say this is part one of feature thought. Part two is after the break. All right, okay, so keep going. All right, so another point that she made was how, I love how she used the example of Israeli. It's how she compared white people to the relationship between white people and black people and Israeli and Palestinians. And more specifically to the point, to the idea of, I forgot to say this, I introduced the clip as if the roles were reversed. This notion that if the roles were reversed, you black people would have done the same thing to us white folks. You indigenous people would have done the same thing to us. I'm saying, and the reality is, we'll never know. Because that's what you imagine. Because based on your limited imagination, that's how the world works. Columbus came to this new world, sees people treating him kindly. And his first thought it was, fuck, they're weak. What a bunch of suckers. Oh, we can play them. Instead of, wow, these people are showing us a kindness that we'll never be able to repay. Fuck. You know, I'm just like, that's what I mean when I said they took the bullshit they had from Europe. It's like they took the worst part of Europe and brought it to the rest of the world. And I mean this system of this notion of dog-eat-dog, let's take this majority, break them in half, let's have people at war so we can control them. All that bullshit. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, back to the Israel. What I was thinking of, I remember when they were having a discussion about how when Biden was president back in the days, but essentially there was discussion about a ceasefire, and I knew that wasn't going to happen. Okay, that's not fair. It's not that I knew it wasn't going to happen, but I knew from the Israeli perspective it wasn't going to happen. Not because, well, you know, well, Hamas is, you know, they drew the line. No, it was more like, hey, nigga, we killed way too many kids at this point. We've like committed way too many atrocities to talk peace. Like, we're like full in. Like, there's no way they're going to forgive us for what we don't. If we were in their shoes, we would want revenge. So, you know, we're all in. We don't, they got to go. Because we did some horrible shit to these people that we can't go back. We're past apologies. The shit we've done to them, we're past apologies. So I knew they weren't going to be inspired into why they would perceive ceasefire as a threat. Are you crazy? Oh, fuck that. Sorry. It's like you're in the middle of a home invasion. Not that I'm familiar with the concept of a home invasion, but I'm imagining you're in the middle of you just kicked in the door. Kicked in the door, handcuffed the children. Mommy. No, you know, handcuff. You're past the point of, fellas, we should change it. You know, we should let these people go. You guys better be promised you're going to be okay with it. Fuck. Even if you convince these people, there's the fear that, yeah, they're going to want revenge. It's like I'm trying to get into the mindset of a bad person. It's like again, we've committed way too many atrocities to go back. And that's the link that I'm trying to make with Israel, well, the army, the Israeli army and the Israeli government and white people and the whole mindset of, yeah, nah. If we were in their shoes expecting the worst, expecting them to be like, yeah, they're going to want retaliation. Did you see how we humiliated them? Anyways, all right. Last point is how I think this world ain't going to change because I think on the flip side, we're like addicted to this abuse. We're addicted to this dynamic of this, constantly like, hey, we want freedom. We shall overcome. I think there's no one's willing to do what it takes to look like Sister Soldier said, we are at war. I think that's the thing is black people need to see racism, not just as sit in the back of the bus. It's the, no, it's war. Like we're under attack. This system is out to get us. That's, yeah, and going back to a last point about how, that's why I judge my allies by the fact that whether or not you're dying in the trenches with me, if you're there for, yeah, all right, okay, that's it, I'll stop there. Okay, great clip, again, name of the content creator is Charlotte Trice, Young Charlotte, and links will be in the show notes, you can check it out for yourself. But it is kind of funny. It's like, come on, the idea of enslaving white people so we can hear them complain? I'm kidding. Okay, look, no, jokes aside, it's like the one thing white people don't seem to realize is how the difference between us and them is we've had way more practicing. How do I use? I don't know if I want to use the word embracing, accepting their humanity. It's hard. I mean, you can hate, you can like not want to talk to another human being. You know, like as long as you see someone as a human being, the mean shit you're willing to do to that person is limited. You know, so why have I had way more practice? It's like it's a habit, it's an instinct to dehumanize us. While on the flip side, you know, once we got off that boat, as angry as we was for being in those shackles, they beat the, hey, remember, don't be angry. Don't be fucking angry. If I say, this is the white slave master. If I get a drop, an inkling that you're pissed off at what we did to you, off with your head, you know, I got to kill you. All right, let's go to, let's take a break so we can get into final thought. And it essentially is what got me to this point. All right, take a break. Let's do this. All right, I'm back. All right, let me, I'm supposed to have like a machine to check my blood pressure. And that's right. I don't have my Samsung gear. But I'm sure it'd be high up there. All right, okay, gang. I'll tell you what. All right, I can't go into full details. I don't want to put any suspense. No, okay. I can't elaborate on this, but there was an incident at work that reminded me of. Let me rephrase this. I remember there was a portion I was telling myself that, you know what? I think I'm good. I don't think I need any more therapy. I remember telling myself this. And it was something that happened to me at work that just reminded me that, oh, that's right. That's why I wanted to. This is part of why I wanted the therapy, is that rage. There is. Okay, when I started this this episode, I played a clip of LeVar Burton talking to Lawrence Fishburne. We're having a casual conversation, and he talks about how when he first started out, he played Kunta Kinte, or how he read to white people's children, and how he established himself as the quote unquote safe Negro. And he read this book because after he had this reputation of being a safe Negro, then he read a book about how, you know, go to fuck to sleep. There's a book out there called Go to Fuck to Sleep. It's meant to be humor. And anyways, he read that book out loud, and one of his brand partners dropped him because it's like, whoa, you're supposed to be like the safe Negro. And what he was trying to say is, I think it's kind of like he's surprised that, oh, you surprised that I have there's an angry aspect to me. Like, you know, there's a version of me that says the word fuck. But getting to the point is, he talks about how he kept his props from the movie Roots, the chains, and he's got it in his, like, hanging or on his wall in his living room. And it's meant to be and he says it's meant to be a message to his his guests that even though that I'm equivocally your friend, I'm your friend, but there's rage inside me. I don't forget. And I bring this up because it reminded me, again, growing up with white people, how I picked up, I picked up on the trait of needing to be careful about expressing rage around white people. Rage, anything related, anything that would give an inkling. It's like slavery rebooted. Anything that would give a white person the inkling that, oh, he wants revenge. He's still angry at the whole slavery shit. It was never taught to me. It's one of those things I just picked up. And it got to a point where, like, there's a chance I'm probably overdoing it. But it got to a point, like, if you ask the average white person who knows me, or the coworker, actually, they'll be like, him? Get mad? Like, it's happened. I remember there's been times where I've gotten mad. I'm being in school and the shock of, like, I didn't know you had it in you. And I wasn't confused, but I remember, like, I grew up in realizing that, like, I didn't realize how much I tap dance around white people, like code switching. It's like it's just been normal. Like I normalized showing one face to my white friends or to white people and another face in front of my black friends. There's one face I'll show to the public and there's one face that I'll show to like my immediate family, mom, dad, and brother. Like they know a different version of me. But it's always been a habit of like, hey, what's going on? Yeah, okay, click. You know, brr. Anyways, something that happened that reminded me about that anger. When George Floyd died, I remember reaching a point of, I can't hide that anger anymore. I can't do it. I can't go out and I'll even rewind because it got worse, right? When Zimmerman beat the case, like was able to get away with the death of Trayvon Martin, I had bought into this whole Obama because Obama had previously won the election, and I was like, well, you know what? Again, grew up with white people. That's what happens when you send your kids to your black kids to white people, right? Because you start accepting, believing their reality. So I was like, yeah, I'm not saying I'm used the words, but I was like buying into this whole post-racial. Whatever. I knew it was bullshit, but I was like rolling with it. Yeah, whatever, we did it. And then when Zimmerman beat the case, because I remember being, a part of me was convinced that, yes, justice will prevail. And then Zimmerman beat the case, got away with the death of Trayvon Martin. And I remember telling myself, I am not going to work the next day because I will not be able to tap that. I will not be able to play the role of the safe Negro. It could just take one ignorant comment might set me off. Like I was stepping inside myself. I'm like, yeah, I'm looking at a volatile explosive right now. I'm Guns of the Neverone. I'm thinking of Pulp Fiction. I'm in the red, man. So fast forward, yeah, to George Floyd. Same thing happened again. And but it was like it was a rage, like that. I think it just exploded into a depression. All kinds of stuff. I was fucked up, man. Not like Puff fucked up, man. I was fucked up. Not like Puff, but I was like, I was not in a good state. But I remember it was enough to get me to crawl into therapy. And then, you know, doing therapy, shit's, life is starting to look a bit better. And I might have slowly got back into the previous version of myself. It's like, life is beautiful. It's like, bite into it. And then something happened to be like, oh, right. Smack back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity. Now, what happens at work is less important. Okay, needless to say, it's a future episode. It's not, it's too early to speak about it, but it's a future episode. But what happened at work is not as bad as this headline going around about the woman who raised $300,000. I'm not going to go through the story. You know, you can look at it yourself. But the woman, apparently she was in a park. And I'm not sure what happened. Some kid, autistic kid. I'm not sure if allegedly went into her purse or something. I don't know what he did. But it was enough for this white woman to be like, to call this little boy the N-word. And I guess someone who witnessed the incident, like recorded this shit and whatever, right? Like there's a picture. I labeled it on the face of evil. You can click on it. You'll see her face. I don't know this chick's name, this evil woman, this white woman, but the picture of this woman, I call it the face of evil. And the real evil part is how after the incident, videos go viral. This white woman goes on the internet and says, yo, my fucking, I don't know, the usual out of context. I don't know what she used, but it was enough for her, for people to create a GoFundMe page and create and for her to raise $300,000. For calling a black kid the N-word. It came toward the fence. The world came toward the fence. Now, what I'm surprised is how come George Zimmerman didn't get that kind of people like, come on. I mean, he should have put out a GoFundMe page. Dude, he killed a black kid. I mean, you know, you call a black kid the N-word, you would think you could get more money for killing one. And whatever, man. So she raised money. And it's, here's the thing. It's not that she called the black kid the N-word. It's not the fact that she raised $300,000, because I'm familiar with white people. What bothered me is all the white people came out, what kind of world do we live in? I mean, who are surprised that could happen in their time. Now, on one end, I'm like, hey, clapping. I'm like, good. Thank God. It's a good thing you're catching up. Because that's what happened after George Floyd. Okay, good for you for catching up. But on the other end, I'm like, fuck. Jesus Christ, you're behind. Holy fuck. Like, if you want to know about how ugly this world is, how fucked up racism is, talk to us. But no, they got like blind folk. They can't. And this is, I'm speaking about the quote unquote well-meaning white people. They're still on the wow. Holy shit, this racism is really fucked. It's as fucked up as you said you've been saying it. You've been saying it is. Let me make a link to pretending not to be angry. I was thinking about how the times where I've, during the whole George Floyd thing, incident after his death, I was like, I was in a fucked up world, but I remember that my ability to code switch was like getting weaker. So I was speaking a bit more candid to people, and you know, on Facebook. And like, it was enough for me to end up in Facebook jail. Like, the shit that I was saying, like, was making the algorithm going, he's going to make white people feel scared. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't using words like, I wasn't saying fuck whitey. I wasn't saying talking about death or anything like that, uprising. No, I was just speaking my mind. I was just talking about, stopped caring about the feelings of white people. I didn't go around saying, at an individual level, but just the stuff that usually gets said in a barbershop amongst black, I was just saying it out loud. Things like, I don't trust when a white person says I'm not racist. You know, it's like the real shit. Like, I don't trust white people's ability to not say or do racist shit. It just came out. The rage was like potent. That's what I'm saying. The things that's on my mind, it's the kind of stuff, it's like, it hurts white fragility. Like, there's still that's what it offends, white fragility. Oh my God, full circles. When I start this podcast with Fuck Whitey, and I've said this several times, like, this is for you new listeners, right? When I start with, it's my way of saying, I'm no longer on this podcast, I take a break for caring about white fragility. Speaking my mind, I talk the way I want to talk. I talk like, if you're a white person listening, you can handle it. If you can't, then it's your problem. I am not, like, I'm not catering to your feelings. When I wanted to say, I hate white people, start the title of this podcast, it's the same way a woman would say, I hate men. And the thing is, the men who knows why, or who understand where it's coming from, that's... shouldn't have to be explained. It's a reality. It's... I'm losing track of the point I'm trying to make here. Just a sec, let me shut this thing down. I'm lost for words here, but I should remember that I wrote some notes here. All right. You know what? I might have to make a part two to this theme, because I remember when I was on my trip wanting to speak about my dysfunctional relationship with white people. And what makes it dysfunctional is how I can't be my authentic self. I can be my authentic self, but there's certain white people who will lose it. If they truly know how black people think, because on one end they know that, hey, look, I'm one of the good ones. On one end, we gotta work around that fear they got that, black people are out to get us. They just want revenge. Like, after the shit we did to them, fuck, I would do it too. Like, we gotta work around. Like, y'all need a therapist, a collective therapist. But that's what prevents us from being free, for being authentic, is because the average white person can't handle the nuance of, yes, black people are angry, but not to the point of wanting to commit the same atrocious crime against, not to the point of losing their humanity. Like, you know what? Okay, perfect example. As I was thinking about that, is when I think about what's going on with Israel and Palestine. No, I am not going to say Israel versus Hamas. Israel versus Palestine. When you start killing kids, you're past saying, you know, we're attacking Hamas. Yeah, anyway. When I think about what Israel's doing with Palestine, part of me connects with that rage. I'm going to go with the parts of history that I know, but a part of me connects to, after the Holocaust, they were like, fuck that. Anybody can get it. Fuck that. I think maybe a significant portion of the population lost their humanity after Holocaust. And when I mean lost their humanity, meaning like, the need for revenge, the need for, nah, fuck that. We ain't gonna be no one's bitches. Anyone comes and looks at us sideways, we fucking them up. And Europe shows up and they put them, it's like, hey, okay, look, you know, you Israelites, you Israelis, you guys need a home? Okay, we're gonna put you in a home, but you're gonna have to clear out. There's a bunch of people in there, you know, you're gonna have to like clean that out. It's like they gave him an apartment. It's like, yeah, there's a bunch of furniture in there. You're going to have to clean that out. But instead of furniture, it's human beings. They put them in there. And then they start like, hey, this is our home now. And naturally, the indigenous people of the population are going to be like, I don't think so. And their I think so turns into, oh, you want to fuck with us? Okay, here's where I'm really going about this, right? As I'm thinking about the way what Israelis doing to Palestinians, I do think about, imagine if black people were in that position to extract vengeance on white people the same way Israel is extracting it on Palestinians. And a part of me wonders, maybe it's a good thing we didn't have that power. Okay, don't get me wrong. No, I'm not saying slavery post the Reconstruction was good. But I am thinking about how if we were in a position to, look, all I'm saying is the rage needs to be addressed. Imagine being in a position where you don't take the time to address that rage, that anger. That's really what I'm trying to say. I don't regret anything that was said on this podcast, but I am saying it is something to be. Nah, I don't want to. It's like I'm trying to make a human connection here. A human level. I'm trying to say something that every human being can connect with. Is the balance between holding on to that rage and holding on to my humanity. You know what I mean? It's like, I would hate to be the person who like you're in a bad mood and you take it out on all the wrong people. Again, I don't have solutions to a problem. I'm just pointing out, I'm making an observation and I'm just saying, yeah, I think I've decided, man. The title of today's episode is going to be The Angry Black Guy, and the next one, part two, is going to be Pretending Not to Be Angry. Having to pretend not to be angry is what's making me angry. On that note, this concludes today's episode. I could do more episodes about this, but I'm just, all I'm saying, you guys are lucky I'm not Bruce Banner. Yes, I know, what the fuck's the name of that comedian? Yes, I know that Tracy Morgan has a joke about it's a good thing the Hulk wasn't black. yeah, I'm not trying to steal his joke, but I am saying that it's a good thing I'm not Bruce Banner after he's been, he got all that gamma rays and shit. All right, I'm going to stop here just because I don't know where else I want to go, but I did say that shout out to my therapist for sending me that message about doing a regular check-in on where you're at. I'm still figuring out how to speak about this rage in a constructive way. Constructive and an authentic way. I think a part of me kind of holds back because I'm worried that, still working on it. All I know is I'm trying not to turn into the Hulk. All right, this concludes today's episode. A reminder that website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. I just remembered that I didn't say that at the beginning of the episode. Oh, well. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. All right? For my thoughts. And they were protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. So much for a safe Negro. Look, you can't trust a Haitian to be a safe Negro. All right. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question, are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast wasn't meant for you. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.